So, hello everybody. How are you doing today? And we are today in the series that we have started on the Dams Daily YouTube channel called as Ask the Mentor Live, where me or Dr. Deepthi, we take a question live from the students and answer a question that many students have in their mind but do not have a place to ask them. And we have some students who have some questions directly for us. And today in that series, I have with me Dr. Pradyuman Srinivas Povalkar. So, Pradyuman, how are you doing? Please introduce yourself and tell us about yourself.
Yes, I am good. I am Pradyuman Srinivas Povalkar from D.Y. Patil Medical College, Kolhapur. And just now, I have passed my final year MBBS and now I am entering into my internship. So, to sir, my first question is, sir, why there is preference to central institutes as compared to the state medical colleges?
Definitely, I think it's a very important question and I think it should be answered because what I have seen in the past is that when we talk about medical colleges, it is very different from when we talk about IITs or IIMs or management institutes or technology institutes, because when we talk about management colleges or when we talk about technology or engineering colleges, they can be graded on the basis of placement. So, you know, Pradyuman, if you were an engineering student or a MBA student, I would have said ke in this college, the placement is higher. But yeah, in medicine and when you become a doctor, it is very complicated because a significant chunk of doctors remain self-employed or they have a partner-like relationship with the hospitals. That means they share the revenue from the hospitals after a certain level. So it is not exactly placement based. So why do people prefer central institutes like AIIMS or when we talk about PGI Chandigarh, JIPMER, or if we broaden the horizon, we can also add to the line why in America people want to study in Mayo Clinic or Harvard. Why? If it is not directly linked to placement or the pay packages, then why? So to me, it is to do with two things. One is that if you graduate from these institutes, it helps you to build credibility with your, you know, consumer, which is your, in this case, our patients or in people who are talking to you directly. Like, you know, so Pradyuman, like if somebody is a graduate from a place like AIIMS or PGI Chandigarh, you know, in his introduction, it will be like, I am from AIIMS, and it opens up a door and immediately, because in the past, from this particular institute, students who have passed out are of good quality, the other person will assume that, okay, this person is credible. So it helps you to establish credibility. But even beyond that, it gives you ease of learning. So ease of learning means whenever we are studying in a peripheral college. Now, what happens is in a peripheral college, whenever you are studying, and after studying, when you go to the ward or you go to the OPD, you see only a limited amount of clinical kind of load. And when you study, you find that there are so many diseases written, so many treatments written. They are saying that this disease can be treated by genetic treatment. There could be, you know, a different kind of treatment applicable on this. A different kind of surgery can be done on this particular patient. But you don't see them around. In your place, you don't see them. So I have seen many people in the peripheries, they form a notion that practical kuch aur hai, theory kuch aur hai. You might have heard of this, ke a lot of people would say in the periphery ke nahi yaar, practical mein to itna nahi padhna pad, itna seekhne ki zarurat nahi, theory mein zyada padha rahe. Okay. But when you work in a place which is a more evolved tertiary center and a very named tertiary center, we can use the, you know, for Indian context, we can say we're talking about places like AIIMS, or in Western context, we can say like places like John Hopkins, Cleveland Clinic. So when you work in the topmost places, now what happens is you see a lot of clinical work being done. Everything that is written in your books, you see it happening around. You see people would be following guidelines. People would be formulating data on day-to-day basis. There would be people who would be working on some research papers. They would be trying to formulate the guidelines for their own institutes. And that will give you a lot of passive learning. because now you don't need to have that that split that you feel in a periphery, that this is practical, this is theory. In a high quality central institute, everything is synchronous. Theory and practical both are being practiced in a say evidence-based manner, and it helps you learn more easily. And third thing is that you are a part of a very competitive cohort. This is something which I believe to be the correct reason, that like suppose you go to do your MS surgery and you join AIMS, to do your MS surgery, the second year PG would have been somebody who got a top 10 rank last year, and your third year PG would also be somebody who was in top 10-20 in the last year. So you will have around you resident doctors who are all toppers of previous years. Now what will happen is these people would not be wanting less out of life. One of them would be saying, "Bhai, I want to become a liver transplant surgeon. Somebody would be saying, I want to become a great onco surgeon. Somebody would be saying, I want to do this, I want to do that. So that competitiveness will rub onto you. Now you cannot say that I will remain only MS and I will do only hernia, hydrocele, I will not do, because you will also start dreaming big. So when you get into a institute of excellence, you see a lot of things happening. Your immediate cohort or your peer group will inspire you. Their competitiveness will rub onto you. You understand? So like what I have seen is, like, I tell this as a joke sometimes in my class also, that when you are in periphery and if you are studying, others are laughing at you that why he is studying from second year MBBS. Okay. But when you are in a central institute and if you are not studying, others are saying why he is not studying, everybody else is studying. So that environment gives you the advantage. And finally, one more advantage is that you might find world-class mentors also. It matters a lot in your surgical fields, that you suppose you are doing your residency in a high quality institute with an institute of national importance. The person under whom you are doing your thesis would also have a lot of publications under his name. He would know a lot of people abroad. He would be well traveled. He would know what is going on in the world. And all that knowledge and experience that he has in his bag would also be passed on to you as a mentor-mentee kind of relationship. So I think these are, to me, the reasons to choose and go work harder to get into a central institute. Ease of learning. You don't have to think that what is really happening, because everything is happening in front of you. You get good quality clinical exposure. Even rare diseases are coming to you in your OPD. You are able to see more. And it is always easier to remember something that you have already treated. If you have treated a patient with a certain disorder, it is, it stays with you versus somebody who is trying to mug it up from a textbook. Then you have a competitive peer group. You have chances of getting mentored by very high quality international standard mentors. And finally, it also has that brand value that you people would take you to be a credible individual. Later on, you will have to prove yourself. But at the first introduction, you will have that credibility of the institute, which has been working for decades. And that credibility rubs onto you. That, I'm a product of this particular institute. We cannot, totally wait in terms of placements and in terms of the salary packages, because that is a more of an engineering or an MBA thing. In healthcare, I feel these are the more important reasons to go for central institutes.
Sir, can I add on?
Yeah, please.
Sir, how to choose those colleges which are newly added in central institutes? Like AIMS are getting launched in various states and all by Government of India. So what is approach there?
Definitely, I think it's a good question. So I think this is one of the biggest questions both for undergraduates and postgraduates. Now, earlier when we say AIMS, we meant AIMS Delhi. And in my entire discussion so far, when I said AIMS, I meant AIMS Delhi, because that is the AIMS. But in 2012-13, the Indian government added a lot of new AIMS, and a lot of AIMS, new AIMS were added in the 2019 batch also. So I believe the aims that were started in 2012, 2013 are now, they have, a few years into the system. They have had MBBS batches. They have had some PG batches also. They have now patient load is also picking up. So the older, newer aims. So I hope you get it. The newer aims earlier in the chronology are a good choice to be made, but the newer ones should be, be lower than the topmost state college. Like, for example, if somebody is from Maharashtra, like I think you're from Maharashtra. Like,
yes, yes.
So sir. Then our AIIMS, which was started in 2020 or 2019 versus KM Mumbai, I would be very clear that state medical college would be above it.
Yes, sir.
And then, I think once you go into these micro details, I think one thing that students who are listening to us should be aware of that when you do your graduation, I'm not talking about post-graduation. When you do your graduation from AIIMS, you are not eligible for state PG seats also. So that is also a factor that when you are, like suppose you join AIIMS Delhi for your MBBS. So then you are not eligible for the Delhi state PG seats. So that kind of, you need to know that trade-off.
Yes, sir. And next question. Sir, how should we go for image-based questions? Like how to manage time management thing in image-based questions? Sometimes they are confusing.
Definitely, I think that's a good question. And before I take this question, let me add one more line also. That today, if you do your MD medicine or MS surgery, especially after getting a top rank and you go into a central institute, you are also, I see most of the students would also be aiming to get into super specialties. So
yes.
If you do your post-graduation from AIIMS or your PGI Chandigarh or Jipmer, you know the culture in that particular place. And in some of these places, after the theory exam, you also have an interview. So that part, you are well-versed with the culture of that place and what is followed in that place that helps you if you reach the interview stage in a central institute. So that is also one of the factors that you should keep in mind, that if you have higher ambitions, the central institutes will give you more opportunities for fulfilling those higher ambitions. And coming back to your question on image-based questions, again,
yes.
I think image-based questions in India, they were started in 2013. Before 2013, we had only textual questions. In 2013 in India, they started image-based questions in our PG entrance exam. They started in NEET PG as well as in AIIMS PG and ultimately in the INICT exam also you have image-based questions. So before I answer, Pradyuman, I want to know from you, why 2013? Why did they change the pattern in 2013?
2013, sir, there was some discussion going on for NEET UG also, and there was some kind of revolution.
I'll tell you the problem. Before 2012, we had two kind of papers happening, state level PG entrance, All India PG entrance, and they were happening with on piece of paper. So that means you had that OMR sheet kind of a paper and a printed paper was given. So on a paper, when you print out the radiological image or pathological image, the image quality suffers. So it was very difficult in India to ask image-based questions on printout. So because in my printout, I may not be able to see the consolidation or air bronchogram or Miller remodeling might not be visible. So in 2012, when the NEET was announced, India shifted to computer-based exams. Now the exams started to happen in computer centers. At DAMS, I have seen the system evolve for last two decades. So I can, actually tell you the context to everything. So at that time, when they started computer exams, immediately in DAMS, we predicted that now you will have visual questions. And next year itself, people got visual questions. Some people thought that how can Sumer Sethi know that why visual questions are going to come? It was actually common sense that once you have a computer screen, it opens up the opportunity for the examiner to add a visual question to it. Now, gradually, the percentage of visual question has been fluctuating, but in every exam now, there are three most important exam now. One is NEET PG. One is INICT for central institutes. One is foreign medical graduate screening exam, FMG screening exam for foreign graduates. In all three of them, now we have visual questions. So now this pattern of visual question is well established. You cannot have an exam in which you will, out of 200 questions or 300 questions, whatever they give, they will have visual questions. The proportions may vary. I have seen AIIMS papers where they have given up to 40-50% questions as visual. I have seen papers where only 25-30% of the questions as visuals have been asked. So the proportion will vary, but they will be your key determinants in your rank. Now, as Pradyuman rightly asked, sir, what about the time? Now, in normal question, you have question and choices. In an image-based question, you have question, choices, and an image. Sometimes you can have two images also to look at. Like, for example, in a recent AIIMS exam, they had a clinical picture as well as an X-ray shown to you. So sometimes you could have two images shown to you. So it will take time. How to reduce the time taken and how to make sure that we are approaching the visual questions to perfection? My suggestion is, do not look at the image. First, look at the choices. Okay, I will tell you. Now, Pradyuman, like today, if you go to your ward and you see an X-ray of a patient with pneumothorax, now what will happen is, if you look at the X-ray, now there are infinite possibilities that what this X-ray could be, infinite possibilities. So you start thinking randomly that this could be, maybe this is a patient with congenital heart disease, maybe this is heart failure, maybe this is pneumothorax. You're thinking infinitely. That is real life. So that is why real life is tougher than an MCQ exam. In MCQ exam, there will be four choices. So that means you need to look at the image. First, see the choices, then look at the image to rule out the choices. Now, suppose the four choices are pneumothorax, consolidation, pleural effusion, and emphysema. Now, when you look at the X-ray, you can see one lung is appearing, one thorax is appearing very black. Why would it appear very black? Because it has more air. It has more air.
Yes.
Yeah. So consolidation, a lobe of the lung, the alveolar space, the air in the alveoli is replaced by inflammatory exudates. So yes, a pneumonia will be white. It will be opaque. On the X-ray, the problem is more black. Pneumonia is ruled out. Okay. Ruled. So you don't know how to see pneumothorax, but you're ruling out. See, a second choice. It says maybe we have pleural effusion. Pleural effusion should obscure the CP angle. It will be opaque. There will be no air bronchogram. It will be totally white. The problem in your X-ray is black. Now what is happening is you are able to rule out choices based on the appearance now. And you are not actually trying to diagnose the X-ray. You are only trying to rule out which one of them is not fitting in. If still there are two choices left and you are not able to rule out, go to the question. Now when you see the history, you will find some clue there. Patient had a road traffic accident. After that, maybe you can have, okay, now this is how I narrow down to the final answer. My suggestion is that in a long stem question, we always see the last line first, then choices, then go back to the stem of the question. Yes. In an image-based question, we see the choices. Once we see the choices, now I am limiting my thinking to those four choices only. The X-ray could be anything, but I want to solve this question. You understand? I'll explain to you. I'm giving an example of X-ray because of my radiology background, but it will apply in pathology, microbiology also. Now, suppose I show you chest X-ray. Now, the problem could be pulmonary, problem could be cardiac. Do you agree? The problem could be maybe in below the diaphragm, maybe it could be pneumoperitoneum, maybe it could be anything. But if I start thinking on the X-ray as an undergraduate, I will be thinking in multiple directions, while actually there are only four directions to be thought of. So that is why when you see the choices, now in your mind, you know, these are the only four directions I need to think. So now you look at the X-ray with this kind of, so suppose one of the choices is saying left ventricular failure or heart failure. So you'll immediately look at the X-ray and see the cardiac size. Cardiac size is okay. Okay, so there's no pulmonary edema, cardiac size is okay, this is ruled out. So what will happen is you are limiting your thinking process to those choices. And that is the fallacy of MCQ exam also. I will explain to you. Now after, you know, because of my background of DAMS and, you know, being associated with PG medical interest for last two decades, Anytime I go to a radiology conference, my seniors and colleagues will come to me and say, Sumer, you are teaching these MBBS students when after doing getting into MD, they don't know anything. They are not able to diagnose anything. Sumer, you are teaching them why they are not able to diagnose. I am saying that only reason the sometimes first year PGs, they start to struggle initially is because, tell me, patients don't come with choices. Patients yes. don't have choices written over them. Now they have to think in the infinite manner. So that is where, you know, if you try to remember and see whenever I'm in my class, I start by patterned approach. I tell you everything so that you are able to practice it in the clinics also. Then I teach you how to rule out in the exam. But we have to be smart on the day of the exam. When you are giving an image-based question, the time is a very critical asset and it is very scoring and it is going to form a good chunk of your questions. See the choices first. Limit your thinking process to those choices. Look at the image to rule out. If you are still some choices are left, go to the stem of the question for any clue and finish it off. For example, I'll give you another example. Suppose you see a patient who has the multiple cystic changes in the lung, multiple cysts in the lung. And you look at the question, it says a patient is a male. One of the choices given is lymphangiomyomatosis. But you know, lymphangiomyomatosis is a female predominant disorder. Mm-hmm. Now history, the demography of the patient, the stem of the question is going to help me to rule out the final two choices. So I think it is all a game of ruling out. It is a game of restricting your thinking to to what has been asked in the question. Okay. But with a pinch of salt, in real life, patients will not come with choices. They will not say, doctor, please rule out, am I cardiac or mad? Is there nothing will be written there. Okay. Do you agree or not?
Yes. So, sir, is there any possibility that there will be questions like video-based questions?
So, in India, in the last few years, especially AIIMS has toyed with image video-based questions, graphic-based questions actually in the paper. Mm-hmm. In the last 2 years, they have not asked any video-based questions, but in past, they have played with video-based questions, I'll tell you. They one of the AIIMS paper, they showed a pediatric epilepsy, and then they asked, what is the treatment? Okay, so this was taking the things to the next step. Instead of describing the epilepsy, it was shown to you. You had to identify and then identify the drug. So personally speaking, when I talked to the toppers that year, they enjoyed the paper a lot. You know, although right now when you're preparing for it might sound scary ke video puchenge kya hoga, lekin jab paper de rahoge bahut maza aayega yaar, ye sahi aise hona chahiye paper. Do you agree? But yes, in the last 2 years after formation of INICET, video based questions have not been asked. And I also want to point out to the students that in the Western countries, especially in America, even questions on heart sounds and pulmonary sounds are also there. So nothing is, because once you take the exam to the computer, now I can add an image, I can add a GIF file, I can add an audio file, I can add it is all possible to do. So that is why, since 2013, now Pradyuman, when I look back, you will now see that, some students, they will ask, why people say DAMS, why DAMS is so highly rated in students? Because 2013, Indian government did the first computer-based exam and we also did it before them. So we did the DAMS CBT before it and we gave the students an opportunity to give exam in the computer centers. In this year, in April, we are doing two computer-based tests for which a student can register and go to the computer centers and give the exam in the similar manner as the real exam. I just want to point out to the students that in the exam, I want you to please value my word here. In the exam that you are going to give, it is not going to happen on mobile phone. It is going to happen on a computer. Mobile phone, some of you have a mobile phone like an iPhone, which is a highly evolved machine. It is a highly evolved machine. But when you go to the computer center to give the exam, the system may not be as per your, you know, expectation. You know, and I have seen some student would say, sir, I was clicking on the mouse and the system was responding slowly. I said, system is responding at its normal pace. You are used to a higher pace. So keep it in mind. Second thing is, do not be bogged down by external things happening. Now, suppose today you are working on your computer. Sometimes the computer might get restarted. Sometimes, you know, you might have an error going on and you have to put that alt control delete, remember, to restart it. It happens. It happens. It's a machinery. So exam is not, you know, conducted by God or, you know, perfect beings. It is conducted by humans. Every year I meet children who will tell me that when I am giving my NEET PG, my computer system in between crashed. One or two students will come. So I always tell them, please maintain your cool. It will be restarted and you can start the paper again. But if you start getting anxious, you will create problem for yourself. Then third is, I sometimes meet students who will say, and sir, I was giving my NEET PG exam in the computer center and somebody was talking. So beta, it is your exam, but invigilator, the boy who is, or the person who has been appointed to invigilate, he has normal life. He has a girlfriend, wife to talk to. Sometimes they will be talking. It is your exam, but India, the others might be talking in between. So get used to. So keep all these things in mind. My suggestions are, whenever you're practicing your grand test, at least towards the final months, shift to a computer. Go away from iPad, go away from iPhones and all the top end devices. Go to a laptop and do the paper test, grand test on a laptop. Okay. Keep a small bottle of water, just like they give in the real exam. Also, you know, do your nature calls, everything before, how you will do it in the real exam. Because in the real exam, when you have to sit for 3.5 hours, concentrate on a computer screen, if you're not used to it, you might make one or two silly mistakes. But then you will regret, ke yaar, ye to mujhe aate the, maine kyun galat kar di. So get used to the idea of computer-based exams. In 2012, 2013, when they first introduced computer-based tests, some people came up with the thought that nahi, government will go back to the paper. I told them that aisa kabhi nahi hoga. In any department in our country, once they have introduced computers, they have never gone back to papers. There is no point in going back to the papers because computers give you the ability to conduct the exam in a fair manner, because everything in computer has a log somewhere. Somebody can, you know, check it and find out what went wrong. It is a very transparent system once the paper is happening on computer. So it's a good system. Get used to it. But all, keep in mind that they will not be taking your exam on the latest generation IMAX. They will be taking your paper on, you know, a routine computer.
Yes, sir.
So anything, Pradyuman, you want to add, or, you know, you say something?
So no, that's it. So these were leading questions from me.
Great. I think it was fun to address these questions. And I think these were very important questions from any exam perspective also, because today, if you are even appearing for a UG exam, I see students thinking about, should I opt for a central institute or not? So central institutes, the classic central institute should be preferred for MBBS. Then the slightly older, newer AIIMS can be preferred. But the AIIMS which are opened in last 2-3 years should not be preferred above the top state medical college that you are getting, because then you will be compromising on your PG quota as well. So that's also one of the factors to consider, because that is an important factor when you are opting for MBBS seat and versus the PG seat. And I'm happy to interact with you, Pradyuman, today, and I wish you all the best for your future.
Thank you, sir.
And I would like to commend and ask, you know, tell you that you have asked very, very important questions. I wish you all the best, Peter.
Thank you, sir.